Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The film Megalopolis.
I would like to talk about one film this week, and that film is Megalopolis, the new movie produced, written, and directed by Francis Ford Coppola, because it's not a very good movie. I will give that little spoiler right at the beginning. But Coppola is just an interesting person, and I thought it might be fun to sort of go over his career. So before I get to the reasons why I think Megalopolis is not a very good movie, a little bit about Coppola and his importance in American film. It's been a very up and down importance, like a roller coaster ride. Sometimes he's really been central to things, and sometimes he's been way off on the periphery. That said, he's always been an interesting figure. He started off way, way back in the early 1960s, even the late 50s, and he started off making very, very low-budget stuff, as a lot of filmmakers who become great filmmakers, and many filmmakers who do not become great filmmakers, start out by doing very low budget, minor little stuff and trying to show what they can do and learn the trade. And my gosh, the things he made, and they're kind of fun to look at, but he made a horror movie called Dementia 13. He made a softcore pornography movie called Tonight for Sure. He made a sort of a knockabout comedy called You're a Big Boy Now. And then he started to do slightly more substantial stuff, a mildly interesting musical, Finian's Rainbow, a sort of a romantic drama called The Rain People. But then everything changed for Francis Ford Coppola in 1972 when The Godfather came out. This is a movie which I think remains legendary among moviegoers and certainly people who are serious about movies. It's an amazing film. It is full of such detail, such finely textured stuff. A marvelous performance by Marlon Brando. Terrific performances by Al Pacino and John Cazale and James Caan and Talia Shire and various others. It's really quite a remarkable film. So by this time, Coppola was becoming quite a major figure. Also, by the way, he wrote the screenplay for the movie Patton, which he did not direct, but that was another very major contribution that he made. But interestingly, after he made The Godfather, he expressed a certain amount of regret. This movie was a phenomenal success, and everybody was talking about it, and it put him on the map of really major world-class filmmakers. But he had a big regret, and I remember hearing him talk about this way back in the middle 70s. He said it should have had a political dimension to it. It should have been about bigger things than crime and family. It also should have been about American society, American culture, and American politics. Now, he said that in 1974, at least that's when I heard him say it, and in that year, he released an amazing movie, a brilliant movie, which has recently been restored and reissued, called The Conversation. And this did have that political dimension to it. It's a drama starring Gene Hackman as a guy whose specialty is spyware. He's an expert at planting bugs and recording conversations secretly and that kind of stuff. And he's involved in recording a couple of people for some mysterious client. And it's just a brilliantly made movie. It's a brilliantly acted movie by Gene Hackman in the main role, Harrison Ford in a small role, Cindy Williams, terrific cast again. But the whole thing ends up to turn on the smallest little inflection of a couple of words in a sentence recorded at a great distance. And anyway, it's an amazing film in dramatic terms, and it does have that larger kind of sociological dimension to it. And then in the same year, 1974, he released The Godfather Part II. And this is another really amazing film where he did inject that political dimension, because now it's not only about crime and family, it's also about how big crime operates like big business and in cahoots with big business and also big politics. So it's a remarkable, remarkable film. Okay, so there we have The Godfather, The Conversation, The Godfather Part 2, three really amazing films in a row, and then he makes Apocalypse Now, which is maybe the first movie to be fully as ambitious as the new Megalopolis is. Apocalypse Now is a movie about the Vietnam War. I think it's still by far the best movie ever made about the Vietnam War, and one of the very best movies ever made about any war, at least in the American cinema. A really remarkable film starring Martin Sheen, another remarkable performance by Marlon Brando, although it's a small role near the end of the movie, and it's a sprawling epic. Now, one thing that Francis occasionally does is to go back and revisit a movie and put together a new version of it. He did that with Apocalypse Now. So years and years later, he decided he had eliminated some material from the original cut. It was a long movie even then. And he wanted to put that material back and re-edit the film. So that became Apocalypse Now Redux. I'm not sure if it's better than the original version of Apocalypse Now, but it's longer and it's still quite amazing. It's a terrific movie. So now we have this real string going. The Godfather, The Conversation, The Godfather Part 2, Apocalypse Now. All movies which I regard as being in one way or another pretty great films. Then he made what was probably the most personal film he had made up to that point, a little romantic movie called One from the Heart. This is in the early 80s. And oh my gosh, I remember talking with Francis. I remember meeting with him and just a handful of other people and having a long conversation just when that movie was coming out. And he loved it and he was so excited about it. And it was such a personal movie. It was his Valentine to the movies. Well, it's a bad movie. Francis loves it to this day. When I spoke with his daughter, Sofia Coppola, also a good filmmaker, a few years ago, she loves it too. They love this in the Coppola family. I think it's pretty bad. But more important than what I think of it is that it lost a lot of money. It meant so much to Francis. It was such a personal project that he sunk a whole lot of his own money into it. By the way, made by his own studio, American Zoetrope. But then it lost a fortune. So after that, he started to make more commercial movies because he had to get himself and his whole movie studio back onto an even keel again. So we start to see movies that are much more commercial in their intention. Some of them are really good. Some of them are not so great. There was Hammett, for example, not so good. A couple of movies based on novels for young adults by S.E. Hinton. The Outsiders, Rumblefish, pretty good movies, not great. The Cotton Club, a musical, which he also reworked many years later. And then very minor things like Peggy Sue Got Married and Gardens of Stone and so forth. Eventually, he made The Godfather Part 3, which I think is far and away the weakest of the three Godfather movies, even after he went back and re-edited that fairly recently. And he's made some good movies along the way, too. I really like Bram Stoker's Dracula, for example, and then movies like The Rainmaker. Then he decided he was getting too much into the sort of commercial movie-making mode. So he went back and he tried to do the sort of experimental and trying things out mode that he had been involved with when he was a student, first studying film and theater when he was a very, very young man. So he made movies like Youth Without Youth and Twixt, which are movies where he tried to go back to basics and take chances and do things that nobody had done before and that he had not done before. And I suppose they're mildly interesting as experiments, but they've never made too much of an impression on me. Now he has made a huge, gigantic, personal big budget movie, Megalopolis, which I think is also in that spirit. Namely, he's trying to be experimental, he's taking all kinds of risks, and I think not very successfully. There was recently an article in the New York Times by a critic who raved about this movie, largely on the basis that it takes all kinds of risks, and we need major filmmakers to take more risks. Well, I couldn't agree with that more. I 100% subscribe to that point of view. I just couldn't be more enthusiastic about that idea. If only the big, major, powerful filmmakers and the little, minor, not-so-powerful filmmakers would take more risks, take more chances, give us more new things. That's one of the reasons why I, for example, unlike most of the critics at the New York Times, have spent a big part of my career writing and teaching about avant-garde film, non-narrative film, film that is really wild and woolly. Okay. Anyway, I agree filmmakers should take more risks. And I am delighted that Francis Ford Coppola has taken such huge risks and just been so adventurous in the making of Megalopolis. What I can't do is to take the next step and to say that it's a good movie, because I really think that it is something of a mess. So, now a little bit about what Megalopolis actually is. It takes place in what is obviously New York City. Coppola has always been based in San Francisco, but here it's New York City, okay. But it's not New York City. It's a brand new city called New Rome. And the whole movie, I should say the subtitle of Megalopolis is a fable. The whole movie is a kind of a, yes, a fable or a parable or sort of a teaching film about what if America, represented here by the city of New Rome, were like ancient Rome and on the verge of a decline and fall, or probably in a decline and about to fall, and how one really powerful, mistaken, bad person could put that fall into real effect. That's basically what the movie is. So it's a parable trying to get across that idea. What if we were on the verge of a fall like that of ancient Rome, and how could we avert this, and how should we think about it? So the main character of the movie, one of the main characters, is an architect named Caesar Catilina. So yeah, we got Caesar in here already, okay, ancient Rome. And he is this visionary architect, very, very visionary. He's invented a whole new building material, which he thinks is going to revolutionize everything. And he's trying to use this material and make big revisions to the city of New Rome. But the mayor is very much not in his favor. The mayor, whose name is Franklin Cicero. So there we have maybe Franklin D. Roosevelt, and again, Cicero from ancient Rome. And we have other characters along the way who are involved in various skullduggeries and good things and bad things that they do. But the story mainly focuses on the conflict between the architect and the mayor. Now, the cast of Megalopolis is a really good cast. Adam Driver plays the architect. Giancarlo Esposito plays the mayor. We have other terrific people in it. John Voight, who really is starting to look old, plays a part. Lawrence Fishburne is quite wonderful. Dustin Hoffman has a tiny little part in it. Also, Natalie Emanuel, Aubrey Plaza, Shia LaBeouf, all kinds of people in the movie. Interestingly cast movie. So, I didn't mention yet that our architect, in addition to being a genius who has invented a whole new building material and won a Nobel Prize, also has the supernatural ability to stop time. So, okay, there we have it. He can just freeze time and everything, the frame on the movie screen freezes. So that's another element in the movie. And basically, we're seeing these things play out. Now, what is it that I think makes Megalopolis into not a good movie? It just is more wildly ambitious. I'm not saying more adventurous than it ought to be. I'm not saying more experimental than it ought to be. I'm saying more ambitious than it ought to be. It's way over 2 hours long. It is absolutely jam-packed with stuff. We're constantly jumping from one thing to another. We have big scenes, we have little scenes, we have expansive scenes, we have intimate scenes, and they're all kind of jammed up together and just hopping across the screen at a frantic pace. It's, in other words, it's a somewhat confused movie. I don't really think that it quite hangs together when you really look at it closely. Another problem with Megalopolis is that the acting is very uneven. I think Adam Driver is overexposed. He's a good actor. Giancarlo Esposito is always excellent. Lawrence Fishburne, ditto. But, you know, you really don't see much of Dustin Hoffman, and so many of the other people in the movie are just really not all that interesting to look at. But mainly the problem with the movie is, I think, this overstuffed quality. The idea that Francis Ford Coppola had so many ideas and wanted to get them all into this movie and just tried too hard, and it just ultimately doesn't quite hang together. So, this is a dream project for Coppola, another one of these dream projects. He's been working on this movie, apparently thinking about it, since the 1970s, and that's a very, very, very long time, and finally has gotten it onto the screen, and he put more than $100 million of his own money into this, by all reports, and apparently he's going to lose almost all of it. Maybe over the decades, the movie will eventually turn something that could be called a profit. But I saw this in a theater near my home just a few days ago, and there were two other people in the auditorium with me. So the movie is really, really not catching on, despite the rave word about it in the New York Times and various other publications. Some critics are liking it. Some critics are hating it. It's been very, very controversial ever since its first screenings, and I'm afraid I really can't recommend it. So in closing, I would like to say, Frances, I salute you for being so adventurous, for being so experimental, for taking so many risks, and believing so much in this project that you sunk more than $100 million of your own money into it to get it on the screen the way you wanted it to be. Unfortunately, I just don't think the experiment works. So please try some more. I hope the next one works out better. In the meanwhile, again, my hat's off to you, but I'm afraid I cannot give you a very good review on this particular movie. And that is my very mixed up and down story on Francis Ford Coppola.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the film Megalopolis.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.